Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A radio.com station. WSSP Milwaukee. WXSS HD2 Wauwatosa. This is Chuck and Winkler. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. A radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Chuck will be back on Monday. Brewers win yesterday 5-4. So they win a series, which is good. Buyers or sellers? Has that question sort of dissipated a little bit? Maybe it shouldn't. Andrew Wagner will join us at 9:20 from the AP to talk about what the Brewers might be up to during these next couple of weeks, as the trade deadline is 2 weeks from yesterday. 2 weeks from yesterday, 3 o'clock. Going to be very interesting. Also, we'll hit some NFL over-unders coming up, some of the ones that we like. If you guys want to jump on board those, we've got a chance for you to win State Fair tickets we'll let you know about. You can also find that on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan. All that coming up. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, 1250 on the AM, 105.7 FM in the radio.com app. Talking quite a bit about Aaron Rodgers today. Had an extended conversation with Chris Sims. They took a video and put it on Chris Sims' Twitter, or C Sims QB. You can also see some of the clips on our account, our website. We'll get that all ready to go for you. Rodgers and LaFleur, that was one of the things that came up in this conversation. Rodgers seems to be maybe more on board than some of the other reports have let us think. Rodgers with Chris Sims.
The scheme works.
Yeah.
The scheme works.
Oh, I know. I mean, my buddy's Kyle Shanahan, right? Yeah. I know.
I mean, the stuff they did against us this year,
right?
In San Fran,
isn't it unbelievable how they get people open?
We're watching the signs going. It's pretty cool.
I know.
So they're referencing a game on Monday Night Football where the Niners almost beat the Packers. The Niners were very bad at that time. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt. You were there?
I was at that
game.
Was
Nick Mullins the QB that night?
That was a Nick Mullins game.
Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins and George Kittle.
That's right.
It was rough.
Because the Brewers were on.
Yeah, and it was to the point where I was like, I just hope they lose this game. This season's over.
Right.
That's where I was.
But interestingly, during that game, Rodgers, as much as he's thinking about his offense, he's looking at the other team's offense and what they do. And that scheme, again, a lot of people talk Sean McVay, but the Shanahan scheme, I think, is going to be more prevalent. Yeah. He says there that it works. We bring in Rob Reichel, BobMcGinnFootball.com, Forbes.com. There's been a lot of, like, Rob, stuff about Rodgers and LaFleur and will it work and the audible stuff. Where I'm at is I don't want Rodgers to not be Rodgers, but also I want this scheme to have a shot, because it's going to bring, like, misdirection and deception, and it's not going to be the same formation all the time, where with Mike McCarthy, you could just look at the formation and know what play they were going to run because they got so basic, especially towards the end. Where are you with how you think this is going to develop over the course of the season between LaFleur's scheme and Rodgers' 11 years of experience up to this point?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, as much as anything, fire, wait and see, and good morning to both of you. We know it hit a point, obviously, with Mike McCarthy. They were at a point of no return. It could not work anymore. The marriage had ended, and you had to try something new. I think where Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst and the powers that be right now inside that organization were, and even our part, is that, you know, this coach and this scheme right now are above the quarterback, and they want to see it play out, and they want to see it succeed too. Rodgers has 3 years left on the contract, Bart. He could certainly play till he's 42, 44. We never know that. But there's going to be a lot of heat and a lot of pressure and a lot of internal, expectations of him to buy in, to be a good soldier. If there's things he doesn't like, he's got to toe the line much more than he did the last handful of years of the McCarthy administration, Bart. And really, Rodgers is at a point in his career, too. I think, guys, when Rodgers is so aware of everything that's written or said or the anything social media-wise, I mean, he understands that he has taken a beating across the country and certainly here inside the state for the way he handled his side of the McCarthy marriage over the last number of years, guys. And I don't think he wants to move forward being labeled a coach killer more than once, which is the label I think he wears right now after the whole McCarthy thing ended, guys. My belief, Bart, is he will buy in, and you'll see kind of the fruits of the LaFleur system kind of come to fruition here within year one. There's always going to be points of contention as you move forward, so some of those things are hard to predict, but I would think you get the good soldier Aaron Rodgers at least part in 2019.
Rob, you feel like he's feeling a little bit more pressure to be that good soldier? Because even yesterday, he kind of shuts down that narrative of not wanting to be coach, and also talks about watching other teams on the sidelines, like watching the 49ers scheme their way down the field. So, what do you think that says about the relationship of him and Mike McCarthy towards the end? Because I know Rodgers came out and kind of defended McCarthy after the firing, but looks like things were as bad as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, the most telling part of that, Ryan, was he never defended Mike McCarthy once, over the last number of years. It's real easy to say you love the guy after he's out of the building and you know he's not coming back. So, you can kind of take that for what it was worth, which wasn't a whole lot. But I do think he'll get the good soldier. Again, Ryan, he's entirely in tune and aware of what's said about him, and he knows, he kind of knows every peep, even guys that comes from your radio station or my website or what have you. I mean, he's that sensitive. He reads everything that's written. And guys, he has followed the McVay, the Shanahan stuff closely for a number of years. He has indicated that at various times in the last several years that he'd love an offense like that. He'd like some of those kind of plays, even dating back to the NFC Championship loss to Atlanta. Your games last year, like you guys were touching on with the 49ers and the Rams. He has watched a lot of this stuff unfold for years and kind of thought to himself, man, I'd love to see how our talent would play out in a system like that, because his belief honestly was that things had gotten really stale, and a lot of people believe that things had gotten pretty stale under McCarthy. So I think he's going to be a little bit reinvigorated, guys, and I think you're going to see maybe a new enthusiasm level, not just from Rodgers, guys, maybe from a lot of people inside that building. Now, whether or not the talent is good enough, whether or not Matt LaFleur can handle two-minute drills and situations and late-game stuff, and how he coaches in year one, none of us know that. But I do think there's definitely a new energy level inside that building, and Rodgers is a big part of it.
Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, BobMcGinnFootball.com, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. I think that when I'm talking about Rodgers last year to what I think Rodgers can be this year, I do think that Rodgers can be the MVP. I think that he is still good enough as a quarterback, and a focused Rodgers is going to be different than the Rodgers we saw last year. And I've gotten, it's the semantics game, because I say that Rodgers played poorly. Well, people get mad because, this. I say he played bad. People get mad because of this. I say that sometimes I tell Chuck he sandbagged McCarthy and sandbagged the season. It was clearly not the Aaron Rodgers that we have come to expect. So how would you describe the way that he played last year? If bad or poorly, if those words aren't going to cut it, how would you describe how he was in 2018?
Well, he definitely didn't play to Aaron Rodgers' standards, and that standard part, as we know, was the highest paid player in the National Football League, a contract and a price tag he had earned, and he didn't come close to playing to that level. I know that some people get caught up in some stats and say, well, he only had two interceptions and he did throw 25 touchdowns. That's an all-time low for Rodgers when he's played a full season, Mark, as we know. The other thing, just numbers aside, when your most important employee is also becoming your most destructive employee, and it had become that with Rodgers and McCarthy, and I don't think you're off base, Mark, for saying he sandbagged McCarthy and was at the forefront of trying to get him removed and run out of town. I think that's more than fair. When you're ignoring as many plays as he did, when you're not throwing the ball to certain players you're supposed to throw the ball to, Aaron Rodgers had hit a point where he was an absolute destructive employee. He won't be that way this year. I really don't think he will, guys. But the way he played last year, Bart, was not good. His mechanics were flawed. He took too many sacks. He held the ball too long. He threw off his back foot far too often. He didn't take what defenses gave him. He was trying to hit home runs. The two interceptions is really a byproduct of the fact he didn't take a chance at any point in time for the most part through the season with throws that were there for him to take a chance on. It was not a very good season for Aaron Rodgers. I'm with you, Bart. I think he'll bounce back. The MVP might be tough. I think this football team's going to run the ball 45% of the time, Bart, and I think you're going to see Aaron Jones have 1,200 yards plus if he stays on the field. And if that's the case, Rodgers might not throw for 4,500 yards, which probably is the number you need these days to win the MVP and 40-plus touchdowns. But I do think he has a bounce-back season. I think he's probably in the top five for MVP. More than anything, though, Bart, they've got to find a way to win 11, 12, 13 football games for him to probably be in that MVP discussion, and that'll be the ultimate challenge.
And, Rob, I'm completely with you. I think he has a bounce-back season. I guess the biggest fear I would have was just, week one with a knee injury, and then even week 17 in a meaningless game, Aaron Rodgers is concussed. And so I guess injuries are the biggest thing that scares me, especially in a new system. So when you head into camp and you have a backup quarterback competition of DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle, in your opinion, I know you haven't really seen a whole lot, with camp not even starting yet, but who do you think would be the better fit in this Matt LaFleur system as the backup quarterback? I usually laugh when we bring up backup quarterback because I'm like, with Aaron Rodgers, who the hell cares? But with the injuries, I just feel like it is something to pay attention to.
Well, I think you're exactly right, because you go to 13, he misses half a season with the collarbone, and they go 8-7-1, and it's borderline miraculous. They find a way to get to the playoffs. You go to 17, he misses half the season, and they were what, 7-9 that season, and you trace it back, guys, even to even when he was Favre's backup, he had a couple of injuries. So Aaron Rodgers has been dinged. And he's going to turn 36 during the course of this season. He's not a young quarterback anymore. So I think it's extremely important, probably more so than ever, who that backup quarterback is. And I would be terrified if I was Matt LaFleur staring at these two guys in DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle coming into camp as my potential backups. And I watched Kizer real close, guys, through the spring, and he does not look like an NFL quarterback at this point. Now maybe that changes. But he was spraying balls all over the yard over there, guys, in Green Bay. Simple checkdowns, short crossing passes, things like that. He couldn't complete them. He's still very scattershot. He's not accurate, guys. Questions have always come into play about exactly how much he loves the game and his intelligence level on the field. There's been a number of jokes that Khalil Mack was his favorite receiver last year. So, I mean, it was a rough year for Kizer, guys, and I don't think playing in his fourth system in 4 years is going to help him a whole lot. I'm real interested to see what they have in Boyle in the second year, guys. Whether or not he can take a jump from playing a lower collegiate level to being an NFL backup quarterback within a couple of years, guys. I mean, that's a pretty substantial jump. I have argued, and I will continue to argue, that at this point in time, at least, guys, unless someone sets the world on fire during training camp, Gutekunst will be, Gutekunst almost has to go out and get himself a veteran quarterback or get Matt LaFleur a veteran quarterback. Because right now, guys, if Rodgers gets hurt again, the season really is over.
Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Bob McGinn, Football.com. The Madden ratings came out this week, and I think the Packer that had the most sort of umbrage with them was Aaron Jones. There were like 25 running backs over Aaron Jones. Last year, I said that Aaron Jones should be used in an Alvin Kamara type role, out of the backfield, bunch of catches, maybe pounded a little bit. I'm not saying he is Alvin Kamara. I just kind of want to see him in that role. Where are you when it comes to Aaron Jones? And is he good enough to be the feature back for the Green Bay Packers?
I think he's a Pro Bowl-level running back right now, Mark. And all it takes is that one coach to believe in him and give him the ball. I mean, in 32 career games, I'll try not to bore you too much with numbers, Mark, but in 32 career games, he's only had 15 carries 5 times. I mean, Mike McCarthy just kind of ignored and forgot him at various times in football games and pounded away with Williams. I know he's been dinged. He's had a couple of knee things. And it's a huge if when it comes to Aaron Jones. But if he plays 13, 14, 15, 16 football games, Mark, I think he's in the Pro Bowl. I think he's got 1,200 yards and 1,000 touchdowns. I think the guy's that good. You don't get 5.5 yards per carry in your first two seasons by accident. We've all watched how dynamic he is in the hole. He makes guys miss that 95% of running backs can't. He's taking his body fat, guys, from 11 to 5.5%. He's faster. Guys aren't going to chase him down this year, probably from behind. I think the guy's poised for a huge year, and he's paired with the absolute right head coach who's run the ball about half the time in his last two stops versus Mike McCarthy, who ran the ball about a third of the time. So I'm a huge Aaron Jones guy, and I think it does a couple of things. Number one, it balances your offense. Number two, it extends the life of your quarterback. So I think LaFleur is smart enough to realize and understand that, and he's not going to let Rodgers get away with changing nearly as many run calls to passes this year.
Rob Reichel on Twitter at Rob Reichel, BobMcGinnFootball.com, Forbes.com. Buy one of his books. Rob, appreciate it. We hope to talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Rob Reichel joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline as we talk a little Packers. Again, Aaron Rodgers talking to Chris Sims, and we'll have that video for you on all the social media channels where you follow us so devotedly, and we thank you for that. You can also head to Twitter today and get in on our State Fair question. We've got four pack of tickets to the State Fair coming up. Use the hashtag CWTickets, and you can find the tweet and respond to it, or just tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's the biggest thing that you've ever wasted money on? So of everything you've ever bought, what's the dumbest thing that you've ever spent money on? Use the hashtag CWTickets. Use the hashtag CWTickets. The dumbest thing you've ever spent money on. Horvat, do you want to throw yours out there? Do you've got a good? There a lot of good ones coming in already. I don't know if you've. I mean, I know we gamble a lot, so
yeah,
that might be it.
I was going to say the Warriors would be up there in the finals without Durant and Klay Thompson. Stealing one from one of our listeners, college.
College, yeah.
I laughed at that one, but mine would be a guitar.
That was Josh with college. A guitar.
I bought a guitar one time, and I was like really into music, obviously, at the time, and I just thought I was going to come out of the gate playing Enter Sandman. And I took a lesson, and they were like, all right, we're going to learn Mary Has a Little Lamb, yep, and this and that, and I was like, day two, I was done. I was like, yeah, Dad, I'm done with guitar lessons.
I took piano in sixth grade, and that's why I quit, because I wanted to play Beatles songs right away.
Instead, you're playing Mary Had a Little Lamb. 3, 2, 1, 2,
Hot
3,
cross
three,
buns,
three,
or three, be three. Like, the fox ran over the wood. It was just stupid. It was dun-dun. And I said, oh, I'm not playing Let It Be, man. I'm going to quit.
Right.
And so that's one of my bigger regrets. So yours is a guitar.
A guitar, yeah. And we spent some cash on it, too.
Oh, boy. Bodie, you got one, Nick Bodie?
Yeah, golf clubs. I play like once a year in this family tournament. I take dead last. I literally got 2 ticks on me this year. It's a tournament up north, and I was in the woods and the rough so much looking for my ball. I got ticks. So yeah, I don't know why I thought I needed like nice new clubs. I thought maybe it would help, but they sit in the season for 12 months. They get brought out once a year in July and sworn at, and one of them usually gets snapped and thrown into a pond, and that's the biggest thing I've ever wasted money on.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever spent money on? Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan, with the hashtag CWTickets. There's a lot of bigger purchases I've made, and gambling and stuff, and casinos, and sure. But the dumbest thing is, because I knew it was dumb at the time. You know, sometimes you look back and say, oh, I shouldn't have bought that guitar. Oh, I shouldn't have bought those golf clubs.
Yeah.
The girl I was dating in high school, I knew it was not going to go anywhere. But for Christmas, I got her a jewelry box shaped as a heart.
Okay.
You know, one of the mall kiosks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then I got it. It says our names, love each other, hugs and kisses forever.
Did you have a job or something?
It was only $40.
$40 though?
But I was making $6 an hour pushing carts at Cops Foods. Not Cops the ice cream, Cops like before pick and save.
Yeah, Cops. Yeah, I got you.
So that's what I was doing. And $40 was, yeah, it was a good weekend's of work. But I knew as I was making the purchase, because the lady was like, hugs and kisses forever, you're like 17, son. And I'm like, just do it. And then I gave it to her, and then she was like, oh, all right. And it was, I knew at the time how stupid it was.
Yeah. I did the same thing in college, but I broke up with a girl the day after her birthday, and I still got her like a pretty big birthday gift because she'd gotten me Packers 49ers tickets. And so she spent a lot of money, and I was like, man, I wanted to break up with her, but then she took me to a Packers game, really good seats, and I was like, I can't break up with her now, so I had to like stick it out. And then, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore, and it was her birthday, so I was like, I can't break up with her tonight. I got to get her a big gift. And then the next day, I just dumped her. She's like, but why would you spend $300 then?
What'd you get her?
So before there was iPhones, remember there was like the MP3 player. What were those called?
Zunes?
No, it wasn't. It was the first like Apple.
I mean, if you bought
product.
Her a Zune,
just the iPod? it was like an iPhone, but you just couldn't make calls on it.
It was an iPod.
The iTouch.
It was like an. Yeah, an iPod, I guess.
Because if you bought her a Zune, that was breaking up with her.
No, it wasn't the MP3s, though.
Okay.
Like, you actually got... Yeah, no, not the MP... I had a Zune, actually. Those things were terrible. Because then you would have to renew your music all the time. Like, I'd go to listen to my set list, and I'd be like, oh, can't hear this one. Can't hear this one.
Yeah, that.
But they were expensive at the time, and I got her the good one, and it was like, yeah, it was like $300. And she was like, why would you spend that kind of money on me if you were just going to dump
tickets.
Me? And I was like, well... I didn't want to be a cheapskate about it.
Yeah, you got even the odds.
She hates my guts still to this day.
Yikes. Eric says an ab roller. Loveless says my ex-wife. So you can continue to tweet in what's the dumbest thing you've ever spent money on. It's our question today for State Fair tickets. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. If you are spending money on the NFL this year, you want to look at some of the props. You want to look at what teams are going to overperform, what teams are going to underperform. Horvat and I are going to tell you. We'll take a look at some of the over-unders coming up next. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, Ryan Horvat. Bart Winkler, Chuck back on Monday. All right. Who wants to make a little cash? Horvat and I have pored over the 2019 over-unders for the NFL this season. And, okay, the one that we like is the Green Bay Packers, yes. Now, that's 9.5. And we've been talking very optimistically about the Green Bay Packers. 9.5 is... These over-unders, they nail them. Vegas knows exactly what they're doing, obviously. They are not... Vegas is not as successful as it is because they lose money. Okay, so 9.5 is a very good one because I think people are optimistic that at least the Packers can get to 10 games, which is where I kind of think they're going to fall in. Horvat, I know you've said 12 the last time that we took a look at the schedule. So clearly on this one, we're both going to go over with the Green Bay Packers. And I think that one of the things that as we talk about this, I'm not very high on the rest of the division. I'm not very high on the Chicago Bears. I'm not very high on the Detroit Lions. I'm certainly not high on the Minnesota Vikings. I think that Kirk Cousins was a huge mistake for them.
Yeah.
So just that fact alone, I do like the Packers to win over the 9.5.
Yeah, and they've jumped up a full game. I think they started off at 8.5, so I think people are picking up some steam on them. I'm with you on the Bears, and I think you're the only other person that said I'm not high on the Bears. Everywhere I look, everybody's taking Bears futures. That number's jumped up a little bit. And then a lot of, like, Mitch Trubisky MVP talk. Are you seeing this? At first it started off and it was mainly in Chicago. But now some people are liking those odds, taking those odds as Trubisky making a big jump. I just don't see it.
Trubisky at MVP?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, man, it's been all over. If you follow, like, a lot of these Vegas sites, you know, people, they're... like underdog picks, right? Because Okay. Everybody's going Mahomes, Rodgers, Andrew Luck. So people are looking for some value. And like Bart and I, we went Deshaun Watson. Great value right there. But some people are going out on a limb and going Trubisky, thinking he makes that big jump in year three. I'm with you on the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. He just can't beat good teams. The numbers show. And that's not even what worries me about the guy if I'm a Vikings fan. Just the way the season ended with him and Adam Thielen arguing on the sidelines. Couldn't get Stephon Diggs the ball. I don't think he's very well liked in that locker room. So, yeah, I'm going over on the Packers.
The NFC North, by the way, if you want to take a look at the whole division over-under, the Packers are at 9.5. The Bears are also at 9.5.
Yeah.
The Vikings are 9, and then the Detroit Lions are 7. The MVP, I just want to touch on that real quick because, yeah, if you've got $10 to spend, are you going to put it on Deshaun Watson or are you going to put it on Mitch Trubisky? I think you would absolutely put it on Deshaun Watson over Mitch Trubisky. Deshaun Watson, by the way, we got him at about 66-1 odds.
Which I can't believe.
He's up to 33-1 odds.
I'm telling you, a lot of steam picking up right there, too. We say who would go
Buddy
Trubisky over Watson, but that's exactly what the Chicago Bears actually did. Not only did they go Trubisky over Watson, they also went Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes as well.
How much are we going to cash in on this Watson MVP?
I hope a lot of money. I mean, $100. We got it at, what, 66-1?
So Watson's 33-1. Trubisky's 20-1.
I'm telling you, it's picking up a lot of steam.
Why?
I don't know.
Mahomes is 4-1. Luck is 6-1. Rodgers 9-1. Breeze 10-1. Baker 11-1. Brady 14-1. These are top quarterbacks in the league. Wentz 15-1. Rivers 20-1. Wilson 20-1. Trubisky 20-1.
I feel like people like the jump that he made in year two, and that was the first year in Nagy's system, so people think he makes a bigger jump.
Well,
in
the first
year three,
game, even. Yeah, the first quarter against the Packers, they looked like the Chiefs, and they looked great. And Trubisky looked good. And I think the thing with Trubisky is he is not as bad as Packer fans think he is, because what we do automatically is think he's the second Jay Cutler.
Right.
I think he's not. I think he is not as bad as Packer fans think he is, and we're always going to compare him to Jay, but he's also not as good as Bears fans think he is. So he's somewhere in the middle. The Bears, I think they regress a little bit offensively. Their defense should still be fine, but, I mean, they could still be a playoff team. I like the Packers doing the North. The Bears could possibly get into the playoffs, but I do think they take a step back. I think with the Vikings, that's another one where I am going under. They're over-under. Like, Bears won 12 games last year, by the way. They're not going to do that again.
No.
So, and if they do, then maybe Trubisky is the MVP. But with the Vikings, they're at 9. And I just really have not liked the Vikings for years, and it's come off as petty. It's come off as whiny. I understand that, but the defense... Again, they were not as good as I think that we thought they were. I would watch these Viking games from start to finish, and the turnovers they had were balls that were thrown right to them by bad quarterbacks. I watched this whole Lions-Vikings game once. Matt Stafford takes the ball, turns the wrong way to hand it off. A Viking picks it up, walks 10 yards into the end zone. So when you're playing fantasy, you've got, oh, Vikings D scored again. Oh, the Viking, you're looking, Vikings D scored again. All this kind of stuff. But if you watch it, it's them making bad decisions and mistakes. And then couple that with Kirk Cousins, who I think is not a good quarterback. I think the Vikings made a tremendous mistake there. But he was the best of the available, and you had to pay somebody, and they chose to pay him, even though they probably shouldn't have moved on from the other guy. Who I always forget his name because he was
an
so
NFC
good.
Champions. Case Keenum.
Case Keenum. I always want to say Cade McNown. Case Keenum. So I'm gonna go under 9 for the Minnesota Vikings. I'll go under on that one.
All right, you're gonna go under on that one. I'm gonna take an under as well. We have the Atlanta Falcons. 2019 win total 9. I'm gonna go under.
Make sure you say Falcons.
Falcons.
I get killed for when I say Falcons.
That and Jaguars.
Yeah, just say Jacksonville.
Yeah, I feel like we overrate the Falcons every year. You know, I feel like the year that they went to the Super Bowl, that was all about the offensive system. Matt Ryan, overrated in my book. Julio Jones, obviously top 5 receiver in the league, but I can't trust the Falcons. I'm going to go under that win total at 9, especially if Cam Newton's healthy. I like the Panthers this year.
I'm going to take an over for the Dallas Cowboys. They're at 9. I like Dallas. I think they got a good team. They won 10 games last year. I think they can do that again. I like Prescott playing for a contract. Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper was great. I think Randall Cobb might have a nice year for them.
Is Zeke going to be a Cowboy week 1?
They're going to trade him?
I don't know. All these running backs want deals. And Zeke, I've heard a lot of talk that, like, is Zeke worth the hassle? And I think he is. I think he's actually the MVP of that team over Dak. But, yeah, he's upset too.
I like Dallas. I like them to win more than 9 games. So for the Dallas Cowboys, 9 games, I will go over on that.
So that's an over right there. I'm going to go under on the Chicago Bears, as we just talked about, at 9.5. I have to go under. I think the biggest loss is going to be Vic Fangio. I mean, you could say just a defensive coordinator, but I think he's more of that in the locker room. I think especially with Matt Nagy being a first-year head coach, like that veteran coaching leader. I mean, he's the only guy in the league that had Aaron Rodgers figured out 3-4 years ago. So I think that's going to be a huge loss. I want to see what the offense looks like. Jordan Howard gone. People, you know, he never really fit in that system when you have Tariq Cohen, but I still think the Bears over exceeded expectations last year. And the other thing is they stayed healthy. They had like no injuries throughout the entire year. So I see them taking a step back and going 8-8, maybe 7-9.
I'm going to go under on the Denver Broncos. They're only at 7. They won 6 a year ago. They're only at 7. Joe Flacco is going to be their quarterback here, at least to start this season. I get this question a lot. We do on Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Wednesdays. If you could work somewhere else, where would it be? I'm going to start saying Denver. Because there'd be nothing that would please me more than getting on the radio and for 4 hours saying John Elway needs to get the hell out of this town. Because I don't like any decision that he's made at quarterback. Peyton Manning. Okay, he got very lucky with Peyton Manning, who they did a good job. They built a defense. And then Peyton Manning hobbled his way to a championship. Good for them. Since then, when he's actually had to evaluate talent, either from other teams or coming into the league, he has missed the boat every single time. None of these guys, here's a take, none of these guys outside of Manning that he has brought in have been better than Tim Tebow. Getting rid of Tebow was a mistake.
Paxton Lynch.
Worse than Tebow. Osweiler. Worse than Tebow.
Trevor Siemian.
Worse than Tebow. Tim Tebow's a football player, Horvat. Worse than Tebow. Tebow won a playoff game. Okay? So, Elway is trash. The Broncos are trash. Flacco is trash under the 7.
I'm taking over the 7 on that one. That's not one of my picks, but I'm going to go over the 7.
Uh-uh.
I'm a Joe Flacco guy, though.
Sucks.
Super Bowl champion.
Give me another one.
I'm going to go over on the Houston Texans at 8.5. As we just said, we threw down money for Deshaun Watson to win an MVP. Let's face it, he's not winning an MVP at 8-8. So we're going to need at least 9 wins, 9-7, probably 10-6 to get that MVP. I think we underrate the Texans. I think Deshaun Watson's a playmaker. He was so beat up last year, he wasn't able to fly at times on the team flight. They had to take a bus. They had to put him on a bus to drive him places because he couldn't even get out of plane because he was so beat up. He had a collapsed lung. They need to protect him. That's the biggest thing. Jadeveon Clowney is not going to play most likely a lot this season. I don't even know if he's going to be a Texan. Most likely he gets flipped. J.J. Watt always hurt, but I'm going to go Texans over.
Going through some over-unders, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck back on Monday. I'm going to take the New York Jets at 7 to go over. I like Sam Darnold. Le'Veon Bell's there. I hate their uniforms. So typical Bart would be, oh, I hate their uniforms, so I don't want them to succeed. I'm going to take under. Mm-hmm. But I think the AFC East, I don't think it's there for the taking. But at some point, New England's got to come back a little bit. The days of them just steamrolling through the AFC East have to be coming to an end. I'll at least take the Jets to win 8 games, so I'll take the Jets over the 7.
All right, I'm going to go back with another under, actually. We have the Rams. They went 13-3 last season. This year, that win total looking at 10.5. And I'm actually going to surprise everybody here. I'm going to go under.
Ooh.
I think the Rams are 8-8, 9-7 this year.
Really?
9-7 tops. I do. I feel like a lot of uncertainty right now with Todd Gurley and his knee. Saw it last year in the playoffs. Obviously, you replaced them in the draft. So you have running backs.
I'm a Packers fan.
Thanks, Sean.
And, yeah, just not sold on Jared Goff if he has to win you football games. We saw it in the Super Bowl. If he's the reason that you're winning games, I don't know. I think the defense takes a step back. And they've been really, really healthy. That's the other thing. Aaron Donald's arguably the best player in all of football. But he's going to see a lot of double teams. You lose Sue. I think they take a step back this year.
I'll give you one more. I'm going to say the Steelers are under the 9.5.
Everybody's going over on that, and there's a lot of MVP talk for Big Ben. So I'm glad you say that because I'm with you.
Well, they lost Brown and Bell.
Yeah. Two of the best skill players in the
NFL. James Conner and Juju are good players.
Juju's good.
But I don't like Big Ben anymore. No. And I think that the Steelers, that 9.5 is reflected of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're giving the Steelers the benefit of the doubt. And for some reason, all these suckers are betting over the 9.5. So that's why it's so high. Because they do have that legacy to them. I don't like the Steelers to win 9.5, 10 games. I absolutely do not like that. I will go under the Steelers at 9.5. A couple more from you, Horvy.
All right, you know, yesterday we were talking, and I was really looking at that Patriots, and you know, they won 11 and 5 last season. Title again this year is at 11. I was going to go under, but that would be the stupidest thing that I could do. That would be just wasting money because every year we're like, this is finally the year. Brady looks old.
That's what I just said.
Gronk retired. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to actually go away from that. And I'm going to go to the Chargers at 9.5, and I'm going to take the over. I think the Chargers are a 12-win football team. With that, I think the Chiefs will go under the 10. I'm not going to bet that, but I like the Chargers over 9.5. I feel like this is Phillip Rivers' last shot to win a Super Bowl.
Those are some over-unders from us. You guys can chime in Twitter, Facebook. We'll throw up the podcast a little later so you can listen to it again when you do go to the window here at some point, whether it's in Vegas or now, you know, below the border in Illinois, once you can start doing that, hopefully, by football season. That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, where get off the grill for a night, especially these next couple of days. You got a little rain here. This should clear out, but then 90-degree temperatures over the weekend. Get into some nice air conditioning. Get into some nice, comfy, and cool conditions. They've got Perkins all over southeast Wisconsin. As you guys know, you are familiar. You can still get the taste of summer with the shrimp menu. Shrimply the best. They've got 6 new fresh from the kitchen shrimp dishes like the shrimp pasta primavera. They've got the Southwest shrimp avocado salad, the shrimp and grits. So really some good stuff with shrimp at Perkins right now. Shrimply the best. You can go out this weekend. I would recommend if you got a family, go out this weekend. Go out Tuesdays or Saturdays after 4 when the adults eat a meal, whether it's off the shrimp menu or breakfast or dinner, whatever you get. Then the kids get a free kids meal. So it's a good way, especially if you're babysitting or you got the niece and nephew in town or you just want to get the kids out of the house for a little bit, not make them the same meal that you make them every night. Get them over to Perkins, enjoy a free meal on the house. Again, that's after 4 o'clock Tuesdays and Saturdays. Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. Chuck back on Monday. You know, what we love here at The Fan and what we've always loved is that we have the opportunity for people to talk about their local sports teams. We know that you're tired about hearing about, you know, the Lakers and the Yankees and Duke and the Patriots, right? You know, you're tired of hearing those things from the same people at the same time. You want local guys talking local sports, just like we're all together at a bar. And I think that's why there's so many of you guys that enjoy listening to us and interacting and that kind of stuff. So that's good. So we were talking earlier this morning, Horvath and I, and you'd mentioned that you think a ton of people have NBA League Pass. Because we were talking about how with Brewers, it's Brewers, and then you don't know what the hell else is going on with the rest of the MLB. And you might be the same way in the NBA. So trying to figure out between you guys, how much of you go ahead and buy these other packages to make sure you watch these other games. Now, we all afford it if we want to watch Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football's on over the air. Mm-hmm. Or if we want to watch, you know, TNT, and I got a cable package, you can watch Lakers, Warriors, whatever. But if you want to watch even more than that, and MLB Extra Innings has a free preview this week, and I was watching some of the Giants because I'm in love with them now, just to prove a point. But how many of you guys actually subscribe to those things? I at first said the whole reason we put the poll up is because I think that less than 5% of Milwaukee basketball fans have the NBA League Pass.
Less than 5%?
The poll so far is 8. So 92% of you say you do not subscribe to the NBA League Pass.
8% of you say that you do.
I hope my wife is not on Twitter right now, because this is a bad look for me when she's like, do you really need to watch this? Pelicans in the Grizzlies? And I'm always like, yeah, everybody's watching this right now. This is must-see TV. And she's always like, no, you're a degenerate. So now when she reads this poll and says it's just you and the other 7% of these idiots, no, I want a divorce.
I think that the way that people do stay up, though, to date on what's going on in the rest of the league, I think the big reason is fantasy. I mean, I think especially with fantasy football, you watch the Red Zone channel and stuff like that. If you're in baseball, you kind of target, you know, who's good, at least the guys on your team, and then the up-and-comers because you're playing a little fantasy. Last Saturday, I think it was two Saturdays ago, I was at home and I was flipping around the channels. It was a little late. It was like 11 o'clock. And you're always looking for live sports on a late Saturday night. Before college football, there's like nothing. But the Diamondbacks were playing the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I turned it on and I thought, who in their right mind? I mean, I love baseball. And these two teams are in the race with the Brewers, in the wild card at least. And I just did not care.
Right. I mean, there's certain teams, you're right. And that's what I'm saying about baseball. I'm with you. I couldn't watch an out-of-market team play baseball. It's just too long of a game. But I'm watching every single NBA game I possibly can. Even college hoops. Like, I'm watching Ivy League basketball. I'm watching the worst. I stay up until 2 a.m. on a Saturday night watching Pac-12 football.
Now, college football I'll do.
But every game is.
But that's where college football, there is no, like, college football league pass. Like, you might have to subscribe to the SEC network, if you want some of those games, or yeah. Now the ACC network,
yeah.
Where Katie George is off to.
Well, it depends what conference, too. I mean, I had one of my best friends from high school went and played fullback at Northern Illinois. We're all like, oh, yeah, we'll go watch you.
And
I wound up blowing like 30 extra bucks a month on TV so I can go like Fox Sports 5 and ESPN 8 the Ocho.
Yeah, we're talking real teams, Bodie.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, as far as college football, like there is, to get all the channels, it can get really expensive.
And they have this, like, goal line package for college football, but I...
That sucks, because they only show, like, 5 games.
Man, I had this idea where we do a Red Zone channel of college football. Like, what would be better? And now they even have fantasy for college football. I mean, there was always daily fantasy. Well, not always, but in the last 5 years. Now they have fantasy football for college. My buddy's like, hey, you want to get in a fantasy college league? And I'm like, absolutely not. And I love college football more than anybody, but, I mean, I'll die of a heart attack week 4. You never have any idea. You know what I'm saying?
There's too many people.
But I feel like that'd be a good idea, like a Red Zone channel for college football. Except for how would you... I mean, there's millions of games going on at one time, so it'd be
no, but you almost don't need it because all the games are on TV.
And you only care about... Well, right. All the games are on TV, even if you have to subscribe to like an ACC network. I think like everybody gets the Big Ten network here in 2019. But yeah, I mean, and the other thing about college football...
That.
Like, you care about your team. So like, we'll care about the Badgers, right? I'll care about Notre Dame. But... There's only like 5 to 6 teams, well, we'll say 10 teams that you really actually have to pay attention to with the college football playoff. Like, you have to watch and see what Alabama did and Clemson.
But they're all on.
Right, and they're all on, right.
That's- ESPN, ESPN2, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, ESPNU, ESPN News has a game, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Altitude Network. I mean, you MAV TV.
BET has games. I mean, it's
BTN, BTN1, BTN2, BTN3.
That's what gets confusing. I almost spend more time trying to find
CBS
games
Sports
on Saturdays than actually watching games.
Right.
I'm like, where the hell is the ACC
network? There's so many
network?
Games on, so that's where college succeeds. So the polls so far, how many of you have the NBA League Pass? 8% say they do. How many of you have MLB Extra Innings? 6% say you do. How many of you have Sunday Ticket? Now we're up to 13 when you get to the NFL that have Sunday Ticket. Dave's on the Northwest side at 799-1250. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Bart. As an old man now, you know, I was telling your screener that 20, 25 years ago, I could tell you who everybody was on every team and what they were doing and blah, blah, blah. Now I just don't care. I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball. If they're not the Brewers, they're not the Bucks, they're not the Packers, they're not the Badgers, I just don't care. I won't watch. Conversely, though, and this is where I think, you know, if I was your general manager, I would try to find a way to work with the DirecTV people or whoever and work out a package so that all of my people at WSSP
I like this
had all of these packages, because this is your job. You know, it's you, yeah, I know you can go on online and read somebody else's take on something. But if you really want your own take, you know, you're going to want to see it yourself,
yeah.
Not take it secondhand. And I think, you know, from that perspective, I know why that's important. I personally would expect you to be doing this. If you were going to talk about a big game on TV and you didn't have that package and you couldn't watch it, you know, I would be kind of disappointed.
You know, I did try to write off some stuff on my taxes, but then I didn't hit the threshold, and then I got all confused about that was. What I would like to do is write off, like, daily fantasy. That's where I learn a lot of stuff. I remember one of the first days, Dave, that I was in with Chuck and Wicket, and it was the Bucks had traded for Mirza Teletovic, and I knew that he was a great three-point guy because I played him in daily fantasy. And
except
I go,
when he came here.
Yeah. Right. He was the original Nikola Mirotic. So when we got him, I'm like, oh, great. He can hit some threes. And they're like, you only know that because of fantasy. And I said, why are you ripping on me for that? I know who the guy is. And I could still never wrap my head around why it was a bad thing that I knew who a guy was because I played fantasy.
Well, you have a basic statistical analysis right there at your fingertips. So I agree with you that you should be able to write that off, you know, except that, of course, you're probably playing for money. But, you know, it gives you.
Yeah, I'm spending money to do my job.
Dave, I need you to come talk to my wife.
I'm like a teacher buying school supplies for my kids.
Right, right.
That's what I'm like. Dave, why do you think that you know less about teams than you did in the past? Why do you think that happened for you?
Life.
Just life?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're obviously right now you don't have any kids. I don't know if you're planning to.
Dave, I got a kid coming in a month.
Okay, well, you find out that your priorities change, Bart.
No more daily fantasy is what he's telling you, Bart.
Oh, I don't know about that. Conference, I mean, that's baby. Still part of his job, but he's going to have to start paring it back. And then when your kid starts playing soccer, you know, or whatever, are you going to want to go to those soccer games or are you going to want to watch a game on TV?
He'll be watching Phillies Nationals because he's got the first five under. Degenerate.
I'll bring the... So having a kid's going to make me watch less sports?
Honest to God, when I got married, I inherited two kids and everything changed.
It's the truth.
Shoot. It's the truth. All right.
Sorry.
Thanks, Dave.
That was the best call we've ever had because Dave, like, that's what I always tell everybody, though. I'm like, I have to watch every game in the NL Central. You know, I have to watch the Reds and the Pirates. It's our job. I have to know what's going on in the NL Central. I'm not going to break down the division when I haven't seen the Cardinals play. I'm not going to read out of a box score or somebody else's article.
Yeah, who would do that?
I don't know.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some Brewers. They win a series, guys. The godforsaken Brewers have won a series. And Keston Hira, a big star in that series. We'll talk to Andrew Wagner coming up to get his thoughts if this team should be buying or selling. I know they're right in the thick of it. Are we still talking selling anymore, or was that just All-Star Week fodder? No, there's still reasons why this team may sell. When they had Grandal and Moose both out of the lineup yesterday, I thought, uh-oh, these guys on the move? It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!